Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
So some good stuff yesterday if you are in the Trump administration or if you are a part of Trump's legal team. And, of course, you are Donald Trump himself. First of all, in Georgia, I saw this yesterday. Both of these came down late in the afternoon, right before dinner. This one courtesy of the Associated Press, as the appeals court in Trump's Georgia case halts the case during the appeal of the order allowing Fannie Willis to stay on the case. And I'm reading directly from the AP News website. An appeals court has halted the Georgia election interference case against former President Donald Trump and others while it reviews the lower court judge's ruling allowing Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis to remain on the case. The Georgia Court of Appeals order on Wednesday prevents Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee from moving forward with pretrial motions as he had planned while the appeal is pending. While it was already unlikely that the case would go to trial before the November general election, when Trump is expected to be the nominee, this makes it even more certain. The appeals court on Monday docketed the appeals filed by Trump and eight others and said that, quote, if oral argument is requested and granted, it is tentatively scheduled for October 4th, which would just be a month and a day before the election. So that's pretty interesting on that front. And then the court would have until mid-March to rule, and the losing side obviously would be able to appeal to the Georgia Supreme Court. And then in Florida, with the classified documents case that Judge Eileen Cannon is presiding over, she is now considering whether Jack Smith's appointment as special counsel is valid. Judge Eileen Cannon, yesterday, the judge presiding over Trump's classified documents case, is expanding court hearings to determine whether Jack Smith's appointment as special counsel is legally valid. The federal court is allowing three legal experts to make their cases on the complicating issue coming up on June 21st. So 2 weeks from tomorrow, that will occur. Trump's legal team is arguing, as we know, Smith's appointment is illegal because he was not employed by the federal government when he was made the special counsel. Trump's attorney, Christopher Keis, argued in a motion that Smith should be removed from the case. Quote, the appointments clause does not permit the attorney general to appoint, without Senate confirmation, a private citizen and like-minded political ally to wield the prosecutorial power of the United States. As such, Jack Smith lacks the authority to prosecute this action. As you know, Judge Eileen Cannon is a Trump-appointed judge, so for all the things that worked against him in New York with Judge Juan Merchan, things appear to be in more of a favorable position for him in Florida. So if you're looking ahead now, here we are 3 weeks away from the debate, and when these first, you know, the first indictments and all this stuff started breaking early in the spring last year in March of 2023 with the Alvin Bragg case. I don't know. And obviously these people knew that there would be appeals. But when we're talking about four different court cases, there's a very, very, very good chance at this point in time that the only one that ever started and finished, and even though technically Manhattan's finished, it's not finished because there's the appeals process. And a lot of people believe that this will be overturned in the appellate courts. We are going to get to the November 5th election with only 25% of the cases, even if you factor in the Manhattan one really not being finalized yet, having been completed before November 5th. And the goal probably was just to smear and make Trump a labeled convicted felon. But now, if you're keeping track, Georgia has been delayed. Fannie Willis still could be disqualified. I don't think she will be. I think she should, but I don't think she will be.
We went through that now.
Yeah. And you have Jack Smith, and now his appointment is in question. And of course, in the classified documents case, we're talking about presidential immunity. And, you know, we could get to the point where the Manhattan guilty verdict goes all the way up to SCOTUS. But one thing that I think did go under the radar in the last couple of days, because I think a lot of the attention in the Wall Street Journal has been focused on Joe and his decline. There's another story, and I believe it was the front page of the Wall Street Journal yesterday, where Joe Biden is on tape, and they have the tapes of Joe Biden talking about retaining classified documents while he was no longer even the vice president, which again, as vice president under Obama from 2008 to 2016, he had no right to retain those. So in 2017, as Trump becomes president and Obama is out of office and Joe Biden is just the, you know, your average civilian and citizen in this country, those tapes of Joe saying he's got classified documents, the fact that we don't have more people, I think, clamoring not only for these tapes to be released talking about Joe's cognitive decline, that, of course, Merrick Garland has come out and said, we're not going to do that, and we played you that yesterday on the cut sheet. There should be more news coverage, in my opinion. And I'll rip Fox and Newsmax as well. Why are they not covering that? I don't know if that got lost in the news cycle, but that's an admission from Joe Biden on tape that he was in possession of documents that he had no right to be in possession of, which is a felony. And yet we're just of the, I don't know, maybe it's a moot point because Robert Hur said, well, Joe's not really at a point in his life where he can stand trial for it. Remember, we talked about all of that. But like that's an important story that is going totally under the radar this week. And I have no idea how the news media has not talked about that story whatsoever. So it's one of the past those.
Just
along.
A nothing burger. Nothing to see here.
Right. But it's like I could see CNN or I haven't seen Fox talk about it. I haven't even seen people that work for conservative media tweeting about this. This was the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and it's like it didn't exist. I have no idea why there's a media blackout on that, but that to me is staggering, especially considering where we are, where Joe is pretty much, it's open season right now on everything that Joe has failed to do, where he is physically, mentally, so forth and so on.
But I think it is a moot point because Hur has made his decision. He wrote the report. They can have whatever else they find.
Right.
It's not going to change anything.
Yeah, I guess not. Well, there you are. 855-839-1210 if you want to get in. Two other things that I wanted to pass along. I thought this story is interesting. I've said this in the past. I was a big fan of newspapers growing up as a kid, as a young adult, and probably up until the last 10 or 12 years. And then you start to get newspaper subscriptions digitally, and, you know, they're basically giving away these publications. You know, you get some of these newspapers for like $1.99 a month. And the Washington Post. We talk about legacy media and the decline of, you know, the New York Times. You don't hear it as much with the Inquirer, although I've got to imagine that they're struggling as well.
Oh, they just posted a...
Somebody, are they doing good?
No, somebody just posted a couple days ago. Somebody posted a person who works there. They had a mandatory meeting and they talked about their subscription rates.
Uh-huh.
And the subscription rates are just like even the Sunday Inquirer, which is supposed to be their big
right.
thing. I think at some point it was at like 800,000, you know, circulation.
Uh-huh.
I think it's down to like 50,000 or something.
Oh
like that.
My God.
Yeah, it's really, really, really bad.
I'm sorry. So they're in more dire straits than the Washington
yeah.
Post.
Yeah.
If you find that link, send that along. I want to read that.
But they're held up by the Lenfest Foundation.
Oh.
You know, the Lenfest family here, such a generous family. I worked for one of the Lenfests in doing a TV talk show after I left Fox.
So they're basically just bankrolled by that?
Yes. They're extremely generous.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've donated millions to hold up
right.
the Inquirer.
I mean, there was a time, you know, 2004, 2008. I used to get three or four different newspapers Saturdays and Sundays. I'd get the New York Post. I'd get the Philadelphia Daily News. You know, I grew up, my mom was in the newspaper industry, so I've always had an affinity for newspapers, and I like to physically read what I'm, you know, reading. I like to hold it. I used to love the smell of the newspaper. I know I'm a weird guy. But the Washington Post is in total free fall. Maybe not to the extent now of the Inquirer based on what Greg just showed us, but the Washington Post lost $77 million last year. And if I recall, Jeff Bezos, the CEO, the owner of Amazon, has bought the Washington Post, and they have lost half of its audience since 2020. And obviously, they need to make some changes. Yet staffers at the Washington Post apparently have more pressing concerns than their own survival of their company, like diversity. This story is courtesy of Outkick. On Sunday night, Sally Busby apparently resigned abruptly as the executive editor of the newspaper. And a subsequent staff meeting the next day on Monday saw an uproar over her replacements. So Sally Busby leaves, and within 24 hours, they elevated two white men to take over the position. Post CEO and publisher Will Lewis told the staff it was time to take, quote, decisive, urgent action to set us on a different path. And apparently, according to this report from Outkick, a reporter then interrupted him and asked whether any women or people of color were interviewed and seriously considered for either of these positions. And according to Vanity Fair, I believe Vanity Fair is where this story originated in, the question elicited applause from other writers. And the report adds that staffers wanted, quote, things to stay how they were, with diversity and social justice at the core of the newsroom's operation. So you have people there that want the Washington Post, which is a dying publication, to maintain their position where, hey, by and large, what we do here is left-wing propaganda. And as we know, every time any company goes super left-wing, they shed viewers, they shed their audience, listeners, readers, subscribers. So what do you do when you're failing? You change it up. And that's probably what these two individuals that were elevated to be the head of the editorial department were probably going to do. And then, of course, the low-level functionaries, the staff writers, you know, the people that make $50,000 a year to write X amount of columns and things like that and cover certain beats. No, we can't change it up. And what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. So, you know what? If you're the Washington Post, you're the Inquirer, you want to go down that road and you're bankrolled financially by some wealthy people and you can stay afloat that way, great. But to go for, like Greg just said with the Inquirer, 800,000 subscribers to 50,000? That's more than 50% according to my math.
I'm trying to find the actual numbers. It's hard to find on Twitter because it wasn't a news article. It was just somebody posting about it who was at the, apparently they had like some like mandatory meeting where they talked about subscription rates and all that stuff. By the way, Nick, can you pull up cut 19 in 1 second here? You mentioned this Joe Biden remembering Normandy.
Yep.
And he was trying to, sit down. Right?
It looks like that.
Well, so I have the video.
Okay.
He's with that French imbecile. Macron.
Macron.
Yeah, what? Can I say so?
You say whatever you want, sir.
Just the French and the World War II. Like, we bailed your asses out.
And Macron, in his speeches this week, has said that repeatedly.
People. They're horrendous people.
They're not.
Wave the white flag.
They're an important ally.
As our American men and women went over there and saved their asses.
Are they still labeled to be rude individuals?
France should be banned from D-Day. from this D-Day.
It's in France. They're kind of...
I don't care.
Can't ban the home team, Gregory.
You can. I hate France. Okay. Not the point of this rant. It's just another reason for me to go off on France. So here's the video. Go over to YouTube. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD if you want to see this video. Phil, if you want to run it right now, Nick, if you can describe it. He's kind of sitting...
Yeah, he shook somebody's hand on the right, and Jill's on the left.
He
looks like he's ready to grab a chair.
He does.
Right?
He does. Or poop his pants.
Is he tooting again with Putin?
That's his look.
Yeah.
His look on his face.
When he has to go?
He's kind of like...
Phil, can you just run this on a loop?
Yeah. I don't see anything behind him.
No.
And Jill's not even aware that he's ready to fall over.
Is he reaching for a chair? Is he petting a fake dog?
Look right there. What is that?
He's pooping. Think about a toddler.
Well, I was just going to say,
Right, freeze it right there.
He's totally pooping.
Is that a chair? Look, I see a black backing and an arm on the... It would be on your left of the
view. Yes, it is.
And then on the right, it would be Joe's right.
Yes, I see what you're saying. Is he trying
to... Is that a wheelchair?
No, I think... No. Is he trying to, move the chair up?
Look at Jill puts her hand over her mouth. What is she saying?
She's like, oh, my God.
Watch.
We're an international embarrassment. He's going again.
You guys, he just totally fooped.
He's tooting.
Come on.
He soiled himself.
He fooped. Because look at, then, is it Macron to his right? Who's to his...
That's Macron, yeah. That's Macron. And his...
So, watch Macron's face because he smells it. Watch. Right there. Watch Jill now saying something.
Very appropriate, by the way, that... Macron's wife or whoever that is next to him is in white.
Yes.
Because they wave the white flag.
Yeah.
Because they're cowards.
You see, they totally smell it.
Yeah. And it's outdoors, so you know it's a strong one, too.
It's like, woo!
And everybody loves their own brand, right? I'm not going to lie. I like my own.
What is Jill saying? Like, she's going, we can hear that.
Joey.
Because he can't hear it.
My wife's a Philly girl.
She's like, Joe, we can hear that. He's ripping one and he's fooping.
He's fooping?
Oh, my goodness.
He's fooping. Where's Sean Farish? Get him on the line. Who's tooting with Putin?
Yeah, Sean, by the way, will be guest hosting tomorrow with you and Dawn.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yes.
Because I'm at Hofstra University tomorrow, by the way.
Yeah. Boy, how about that, artsy people? They're... Big Hofstra's bringing in the community college guy to speak.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Nick Kale. Thank you.
They're bringing in, the doer?
Yeah. Just can imagine.
But that must be a hell of a commute going to Hofstra. Are you excited for that?
No, not at all. Not at all. And I'm going because, I think I'm speaking at, 11:40. So I'm going during rush hour. It's going to take me 6 years to get there.
Literally. Are they streaming it? I'll take it live during my show.
No, you're not taking it live.
Come on.
I want to, yeah.
We should do a stalker dashboard cam tomorrow.
Yeah, totally.
Phil, run that clip one more time, if you will. I want to see the, this is going to be me. It's a long ride.
Look at Jill. That quote, vindictive moron. That's a Hunter quote, not mine.
I just love.
Look, she's covering because they can lip read, see? And then look at the French president.
But here's the thing. If you've ever soiled yourself, wouldn't you rather just stand than sit in it?
Yeah.
He's like...
I've never done that, but, I mean, I don't know. I'd rather just let it drip down my leg.
Look at her skin. Joe, we can hear that.
What's the temperature over in
Normandy? Well, I had to go, honey.
Pepe writes. Kim writes, Pepe Le Pew. I just hate these.
Like, woo!
I hate the French.
Good. Yeah. We've established that.
I don't know why.
Macron.
Ugh.
Or didn't he call him Mitterrand?
He doesn't know where he is. And
you hate the French more than Al Bundy. It's unbelievable. 855-839-1210. Let's get... are we doing the clip here now? Are we going to break? Yeah. Or which one are we going to go first?
Why don't you take the call and we'll do the...
All right. Let's grab Joe. He's in Blackwood. Joe, you go right ahead this morning.
Hey guys, great show. Always enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Listen, you brought that up. I think Joe just gave a new meaning for D-Day, Dump Day.
Oh, no.
Dump Day for Joe.
He thought D-Day meant Dump Day.
Dump Day, he's Dump Day.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you a little something about me, and I'll get off as quick as I can, because I'm an old man. I like to talk. I'm 81 years old. I probably in my life have voted 60% of the time for, all the way back to the Kennedy years, Democratic. One of the things these people got to wake up, this ain't the Democratic Party anymore, guys.
Yeah.
If you're a Democrat, you're not a Democrat anymore if you're voting for these clowns, because they are clowns. I happened to stumble across something on my phone the other day. It came on The View, which, God forbid, I hate to even use the word View. Their latest now, their latest that they came out with is they're getting fed information somewhere, probably from Albert, from Bragg or one of those guys up there, that they're going to try to convicted, or thought they convicted Donald, they want to try to give him a year or less in jail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the reasoning, the reasoning for that in their mind is, if they go 6 months to a year, they can put him in Rikers. And they want to stick him in Rikers. That's where they want to put him. And the other thing they're working on behind the scenes, and this is, they're on TV now telling us this is what they're going to try to do. And they said they can do it. They're also going to try to get his Secret Service immune to protect him. If this is the people that are, these are typical modern day Democrats now. If this is the type of people that this country wants to vote for, or you people out there feel you ought to vote for, God help us.
Just well said. Look, I don't think he will serve any jail time. If you've listened to all the experts, these parole officers, probation officers, they're going to go through the screening. And, you know, what the crime that he was convicted of typically does not result in jail time. So I think, you know, you talk about Rikers Island. I think if you talk about, you know, Democrats and wanting to have that moment of Trump in an uncomfortable spot, I think they'd rather see him cleaning up graffiti, right? Because they're going to say, oh, look at that guy with owns all these buildings and all that net worth, and he's out there, you know, cleaning up, you know, a stop sign that's got graffiti on it. So I don't think that's going to happen. And obviously with the appeals process, there's a strong chance that it will be overturned. But I did see that clip from, I think it was Sonny Hostin that was floating that out there.
And now, the Morning Mystery Movie clip on Kale & Company, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Hey, so you got kicked out of Harvard for cheating?
No, I got kicked out of Harvard for hitting him.
You hit him? What, like punched him out?
No, I hit him with a car.
You got kicked out of Harvard for hitting a guy with a car?
By accident. I'd have Jim Beam, please. But he broke three ribs, which was technically his fault because he shouldn't have been in the road.
$2, please.
Also, he s*** himself. That was the greater indignity.
Here you go, killer.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
Today, another digital movie code to see The Land of Saints and Sinners as Liam Neeson plays a retired hitman, Finbar Murphy, who finds peace in a quiet Irish town until terrorists force him back into action. From Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment, available to buy or rent on digital now, rated R. Caller 12-855-839-1210.
By the way, I just wanted to follow up on what you guys, or what we were talking about, the Inquirer subscription rate. I found it.
Yeah.
Thank you to our director of sales for pointing me in the direction of where it was. Nice. Kudos to Kyle Scott, who used to run Crossing Broad.
Yeah, I know Kyle.
So, 20 years ago, the Sunday number, the Sunday subscription rate for the New York Times, or for the Philadelphia Inquirer, 690,000.
Okay.
This year, the Sunday Inquirer, 60,000. 60,000.
Oh my God, they've lost 630 of the 690,000 they had.
The Inquirer Daily, like the, you know, the weekly subscription, 26,000.
Uh-huh.
The Daily News, 3,000.
Oh my God.
I mean,
they've lost 91% of their base.
Yep. But is that even with their digital subscriptions?
I think it's just the hard paper, you know,
part of this is what's the digital subscription in their defense.
Agreed.
Mm. Can't imagine it's massive.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a fringe group of people that read that. That's just amazing.
Yep.
All right. Coming up next, we'll get our winner for the movie clip. We've got Cut Sheet Part 2 and Caitlin Clark. The controversy continues as it's now gone to Congress. Back after this on Kale & Company.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Big three coming up here in just a few moments, but let's get Dave in Flower Town. He's the winner of our movie clip this morning. Dave, good morning. What movie did we just play for you?
Good morning, fellas. You played a clip from The Holdovers, and that was Paul Giamatti.
Yes. Correct. Congratulations. You've got the digital movie download for The Land of Saints and Sinners, starring Liam Neeson.
Excellent. Right. I love listening to you guys. I bounce back and forth between you and WOR. I keep it all in the family.
Awesome. Right. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank
you. There we go.
That's all in Dawn's family, not all in the Odyssey family.
Right. Oh. Yeah. It's the library station up in
my
the Apple.
Family. You're yeah. me oh, familiar. Yeah. You're familiar.
No, it's good. I don't care. You can bounce back and forth. It's all good.
There we go. Whoa. All right. Nice work.
We're way better.
All right, we'll get to cut sheet part two. By the way, poll question is up and the video is up. If you missed this on YouTube, I've posted the video of Joe and the poll question is up. Did the big guy poop his pants?
Can you let me post the clip of us talking about it rather than some random thing? Please. Yeah. Can we promote the radio station and the radio show?
Can we check our work,
instead of
put it on the air
trying
and
to get,
save it.
And trying to get interaction on Twitter for some random video? Thank you.
I'm just trying to see if the audience agrees with our assessment with the poll question.
Well, then let me post the video of us discussing it.
Mom and Dad, quit fighting.
I'll delete it for you.
God.
Let me see. Delete post.
Just asking.
Let's see here.
Just please. Not everything needs to go on Twitter. This is the second something comes out, everything goes, oh, need to put it on Twitter! Need to put it on Twitter! Gotta put it on Twitter! Not everything needs to be on Twitter! Need to get interactions, need to get views, has to go on Twitter!
How do I tweet WOR?
Did you isolate that? Greg literally
that's
was saying
stay,
Twitter went,
that's
no,
why,
I didn't do that.
That's why I stay quiet, so Jim can grab all this.
Yes.
He's over in the corner digging.
There is a marketing strategy to the show, to the station. And everybody just puts, Joe Blow says this, so let's retweet him. Great. Awesome. Thank you. Jesus. Can we just please? I'm just asking. It's the radio. Like, this radio station, this radio show, these radio shows are all our livelihood. I don't care what Colin Rugg or Benny Johnson tweets, okay? We don't need to retweet them.
Benny and the Jets.
How about Jack Posobiec?
Yeah.
Okay. I go down the list here. Who else triggers you? Let me see if I got any. Do I follow anybody that's French? Oh, man. We're going to miss you tomorrow. Have fun at Hofstra.
I know.
Speaking at 11:45?
Yeah.
I'm going to find this.
We're going to leave at 7 a.m.
I'm going to start yelling at them.
you should just get a ride with Larry.
That's true.
Oh, my God. I'm crying. All right, let's go. We've got a big three, right?
Bree writes, oh, my God, Greg is on his period.
Here, let's give him some Mito.
Yeah, Dawn, help him out here. Throw our brother a bone.
All right.
Let's get to Dawn's big three.
It's the big 3 and 9 on Kale and Company.
Big 3 at 9, sponsored by Holland Floor Covering. So, number one in our big three, we've got Boeing's space capsule developed more leaks. We got some leaks going on, and this time it's Boeing during its first test flight with astronauts as it closed in on the ISS yesterday. So this is the Starliner capsule. So yesterday morning, it was exciting. We carried a little bit of, as we talked about this, that it's pretty cool. This is basically a ferry, if you will, that they're going to ferry the astronauts back and forth to the ISS. The International Space Station.
Yeah.
So a huge success story. SpaceX obviously has been doing this and showing them up. So it was a big deal that they've tried to launch this. And the third time they did, the astronauts were aboard. The bad news here is that they had some small helium leaks.
No, they're staying on brand as a company. They haven't figured out how to get humans from point A to point B without cabins popping open. So now we're going to just try to master our ability in space. Why don't we just focus on this constellation?
Well, they said that this posed no danger at all to the astronauts on board, and they're dealing with it. But it's a partnership between NASA and Boeing and SpaceX, actually, to ferry the astronauts. But in this one, it's a good look for a success story, much needed if you're hearing what Nick was saying earlier this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, speaking of SpaceX, let's talk about Elon Musk and the Tesla board. Now they're facing this shareholder suit over his sale of $7.5 billion worth of Tesla shares in late 2022. Ahead of the sales report that came out the following January that sent the price of the stock plunging.
Wow. My buddy just test drove the Tesla truck a few days ago. Starts at like $83,000, I think. He said that thing is like a rocket ship.
Really?
Yeah, he can't afford it, but he just wanted to try it.
I saw some guy. Where was he? Was he in Wildwood?
No,
I saw some guy driving one in Wildwood Memorial Day weekend.
I think he's in the Lehigh Valley, but I think he said he went up to the Poconos to test it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, now they have this major lawsuit going on. So they're claiming Musk profited from his misconduct and his exploitation of material and adverse inside information. So that's a piece of this suit that they have just filed. So we're following that one very carefully for you. And number three, I always have trouble choosing the number three final. I will say this, that down the Jersey Shore, they are promising down the shore that they will not have any of these unruly Utes. They have cracked down, and they vow, even despite Governor Phil Murphy and his AG, they're saying they are cracking down, which is why they were charging heavily that one teenager in the stabbing in Ocean City, New Jersey. So down the shore, local mayors, local leadership saying no more violence will be tolerated as we head into another beautiful shore weekend.
So. Good. I mean, these are all, you know, vacation destinations, tourist spots. Why would you ever get soft on crime and allow your bottom line as a resort and beach community to be impacted by this? Makes no sense. This should never even reach this point, to be completely honest.
We are sponsored by Holland Floor Covering, the region's premier flooring dealer, family operated for more than 50 years now, providing exceptional service and professional installation. Just visit their two showrooms in either Wayne or Newtown, no charge samples, no obligation estimates. Learn more, hollandfloor.com. This is Big Three.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Quick break, and we'll come back and see if we can squeeze out or pinch off a cut or two before we find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show in about 20 minutes. Stay right there. We're back after this.
Got to talk about my friends from Piazza, because summer really does kick off the road trip season for so many of us. But do you know if your vehicle is really road trip ready? My friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, they're going to take care of you. And they always help to make sure you and your family are safe on the roads this summer. These service centers of the Piazza Premium dealers not only handle your regular maintenance needs, but also diagnose possible issues before they occur. So just schedule a service appointment online today. Visit PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com for that dealer nearest you across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaPremiumAutomobiles.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.
What's on the cut sheet?
I do. What's on the cut sheet part two? Sponsored by Discover Lancaster. Discover more of Lancaster. Head to Lancaster County this weekend with your family to enjoy the rides at Dutch Wonderland. It's a kingdom for kids. Just a 90-minute drive from Philadelphia. I'm looking for something to do with my son this weekend. It's a great 90 minutes right down the turnpike. That's great. Visit discoverlancaster.com to plan your getaway now. Discoverlancaster.com. Okay, I'm going to play this really quickly. These shoppers at a store in Nashville. This is visual, so go over to youtube.com/at1210wphd. Nick, if you want to describe this. Mm-hmm. These shoppers at a store in Nashville, Tennessee, block a group of thieves after they attempt to loot the store until police arrive. So this group of Utes goes in, loots the store, and these citizens just block the door.
Yep.
And don't let them leave.
Citizen containment.
This is Cut 17. Phil, go.
These robbers are stuck inside the store.
Robbers.
Robbers with masks on.
Hell no, boy. We need to get prosecuted.
Looks like some colognes or perfumes.
Yep.
People recording on their phones. The security guard there. He's got the security jacket on.
They're trying to open the back.
They're not
going to
do that.
They still got
this. I got nowhere to go.
Man. Hey. Here they come.
Here they come.
How great is this?
It's amazing.
The lady says my son was shopping and four robbers charged in, took the cops 30 minutes to get there, and the shoppers are holding them trapped inside.
30 minutes to get there, by the way.
30 minutes.
I know.
It's
30
amazing.
Minutes or less, or the pizza's free, right?
By the way,
is it rural, though? How rural is this area?
This is Antioch. It's a little stretch in Nashville. I know exactly where this is. I only lived 10 minutes from there when I was down there. And it's a real rough area. It goes from nice to rough, back to nice. And this is like a 2 or 3 mile stretch. And it's not a pleasant experience. And I can totally see why this place is being robbed.
So I would love to have a video or microphone on those punks inside.
Yeah.
Just to hear what they're saying.
Well, you wouldn't be able to hear them because they're wearing COVID masks. As they rob and loot. Because, you know, they want to flatten the curve while they're in there.
Actually, it's a genius move. More people mm-hmm. should do stuff like this,
yep.
honestly.
Yeah, so. Assuming that those robbers don't have a gun, you're probably fine.
Absolutely.
There you go. Strength in numbers.
Yeah. Because remember, everybody there is probably trained, as most businesses nowadays. You're not allowed.
Yep.
You're not allowed to intervene or even video with your phone.
Yep. I love it.
All right.
It's good work out of those people.
Thank you.
You should get the key to the city.
Thank you, Discover Lancaster, for sponsoring that clip.
There you go. All right, Dawn Show in about 8 minutes. What do we have lined up for the top of the hour, Dawn?
Well, we have, obviously, we will think about D-Day and commemorate this 80th year anniversary of D-Day, in fact, from 1944. Talk about some of the local military members who've made the pilgrimage over to Normandy, France, and are there today. So we'll update you on that. Kathy Barnett, who served in the military but needs no introduction, Kathy will join me, and we'll talk about everything that's going on in the news today as far as from the Veep choices, the latest on that. Trump last night on Hannity, we'll review that a little bit and some of his statements. And we'll go over the Hunter Biden trial as well. So we've got it all covered live and local.
All right, let's get to today in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history on Kale & Company.
Today, Thursday, June 6th, we celebrate the birthdays of Steve Vai, James Schaefer from Korn, and Tom Araya from Slayer. We also lost Jim Seals of Seals and Croft on this day in 2022, Dr. John in 2019, and rap guitarist Robin Crosby in 2002. Singles include Roy Orbison's Only the Lonely in 60, and Don Henley's The End of the Innocents in 89. Albums include The Cars' debut from 78, a great album that is, Britney Fox's debut in 88, Tesla's Simplicity in 2014, and the very first CD I ever bought, Invisible Touch by Genesis, released on this day in 1986. Also in 92, the GNR video of November Rain debuted. In 62, the Beatles recorded at Abbey Road Studios for the first time. In 2005, Classic Rock magazine named John Bonham the greatest drummer of all time.
Amen.
And I can't disagree. But lastly, on this day in 2001, Elton John auctioned off 20 vehicles in his car collection, earning $2.75 million. The reason? He didn't have time for them anymore. Poor Kale & Company. I'm Phil Lundquist.
Same thing. I just can't drive all the vehicles I have. I'm just going to start auctioning them off.
Like a garage sale.
It is. It's like the Kale garage sale. All right, let's get to who won Twitter today.
Who won Twitter?
Edward Camarado? Okay. He says, Stalker is on a rant. He's negotiating a sponsorship deal with Pamperin. It's not right. And by the way, somebody's like, he's like, oh, Stalker's rants are WWF style. Like, okay, if you want to believe that, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Are they saying they're scripted and staged?
He knows how, I mean, everybody here knows how I feel about Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So just tell me again how these things are. stage. Right.
This is radio, people!
Thank you.
All right, that'll do it for us. Also, don't forget, you can keep donating for our bike ride coming up on July 21st, and our bike ride will be sponsored for Kale and Company by our buddy David Gelman, criminal defense attorney, and also personal injury attorney if you're in the need of legal services, GelmanLawFirm.com. Stay tuned. The Dawn Show is up next. We're back tomorrow morning at 6. Stocker will be heading to Hofstra to educate the youth. Sean Farish will be in co-hosting with Dawn and myself, and we will talk to you then.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.